बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। 19 चैप्टर फर्स्ट वर्स, समवन कैन रीड द ट्रांसलेशन।
श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड, माय डियर किंग, इन किंपुरश वर्ष द ग्रेट डिवोटी हनुमान इज ऑलवेज एंगेज्ड विद द इनहिबिटेंट्स ऑफ दैट लैंड इन डिवोशनल सर्विस टू लॉर्ड रामचंद्र, द एल्डर ब्रदर ऑफ लक्ष्मण एंड द डियर हस्बैंड ऑफ सीता देवी।
हनुमान जी वर्षिप्स लॉर्ड रामचंद्र इन किंपुरश वर्ष। नेक्स्ट सेकंड, लक्ष्मण अग्रज एंड सीताभिराम, these are the words used to describe Lord Ramachandra in the first verse.
A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arshtisena, the chief person in a Kimpurusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. Hanuman chants the following mantras.
So Hanumanji and Arishtasena hear about Lord Ramachandra. There are two opinions about Lord Ram. Some say that Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna are the incarnations of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Aniruddha and Pradyumna, Chaturvyuha. Second opinion is they are incarnations of Vishnu, Seshanag, Sankha and Chakra. Prabhupada says both are correct. Vishnu Dharmottara says they are the incarnations of Chaturvyuha. Padma Puran says that they are incarnations of Narayana, Sesha, Chakra and Shankha. Baladeva Vidya Bhushan says that these opinions are not contradictory, but they are subject to different millenniums. It's not that Lord Ramachandra appears only once. Multiple times the Supreme Lord manifests as Lord Ramachandra. So, in different kalpas, different ways they manifest. Hanumanji hears the glories of Lord Ramachandra, his master. He does not even hear the glories of other forms of the Lord also, unlike Narada Muni and others. Because he is so rooted, he is so fixed up in worshipping one form. So, यद्यद्धियात उरुगाय विभावयन्ति तत्तत्वबुह प्रणयसे सदनुग्रहाय त्वं भक्तियोग परिभावित हृत्सरोज आस्ये श्रुतेक्षित पथो ननुनाथ पुंसाम यद्यद्धियात उरुगाय विभावयन्ति तत्तत्वबुह प्रणयसे सदनुग्रहाय। डिवोटीज वर्शिप द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड एंड कॉन्टेम्पलेट ऑन स्पेसिफिक फॉर्म्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड in various ways. So different forms of the Lord are mentioned in the scriptures. Devotees get attached to specific forms and they worship those forms, and Krishna is very pleased to reciprocate with those devotees in that particular forms, and there is absolutely nothing wrong or anything less in that kind of worship. Everybody need not be devotee of Krishna only. Everybody needs to be devotee of Krishna because that's the eternal constitutional position. However, different devotees appreciate different forms of Krishna according to their own moods and their own taste. When someone is a devotee of Ram, he is also Krishna's devotee only. When someone is devotee of Narasimha, he is also devotee of Krishna only. He appreciates Krishna in Ram's form, in that attire, in certain mood. So like that, that's what personalism is. Personalism means everybody is a person, everybody is a unique, he has a unique taste, unique method of worship, and to reciprocate with the unique mood of one devotee, each individual soul, Krishna is ready to manifest a specific form in a specific mood. So Krishna is willing to reciprocate with devotees in multiple forms. So Now, for example, an LKG student is there. He will learn A, B, C, D. He just moves a little ahead. He will learn additions, multiplication, subtractions. He will become a little more advanced. Then there are multiple subjects in his class. There is a language, first language, second language, maybe third language. There is science, social, mathematics, geography, history. All these are there. So he will study like that up to 10th standard, maybe. Then plus 1, plus 2, he will go into specific group. What is that called? BIPC, MPC. Things become little more specific. He studied multiple subjects broadly, the basics of multiple subjects, and he developed some interest and taste in one specific subject that has multiple sections. And once he goes to BTech, then he will go into say, more chemical engineering. He's doing BIPC. BIPC, biology, physics, chemistry, or MPC, mathematics, physics, chemistry. So when he goes to say BTech, then he will be more specific. He may go into computer science or electric engineering or electronics engineering, and he will study that part very deeply. And when he goes to MTech, then he will become little more specific. He goes to PhD, he'll take small thing and then studies it very deeply, right? So initially the student is exposed to multiple subjects, basics of multiple subjects. And according to his own taste, as he develops, his area of interest and area of research and area of study becomes very specific. When he comes to PhD and postdoc, he's just researching on one small thing. Similarly, a sadhaka bhakta may also study about various incarnations, various forms of the Lord. Madhya Lila 20th chapter describes multiple forms of the Lord. Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakasha, Prabhava Prakasha, Vaibhava Prakasha, then Vaibhava Vilasa, Prabhava Vilasa, multiple Chaturvyuha forms, Swamsha, Vibhinnamsha, then within Swamsha there are Purushavataras, Gunavataras, Leelavataras, Manvantaravataras, Yugavataras, Shaktyaveshavataras. So like that, so many forms he will study. He will learn about so many incarnations. As one advances, progresses in devotional service, his attention and his mind is fixed on one specific form. As described in Shastras, nothing concocted. Idyat dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattatvapuhu pranayasi sadanugrahaya. And he will focus more on that form and then he will worship that form only and he will perfect that. Then first one form is fixed. Say Krishna's form. Devotee's love, a sadhaka devotee, developed a lot of attraction for Krishna's form. Then it will become more specific. From Krishna, he will go little deep. Krishna in which rasa? Is it Madhurya rasa? Or Dasya rasa? Or Sakhya rasa? Or Vatsalya rasa? Rasa is also becomes specific. And that rasa in which flavor? Aishwarya flavor or Kevala flavor. Within Vatsalya also there is Yashodamai who is having Kevala Vatsalya, pure Vatsalya, without any conception that Krishna is God. Whether you are God or whatever, I love you. That is Yashodamai's approach towards Krishna. Devaki, she is a Vatsalya Bhakta. Definitely she has parental affection for Krishna, but sometimes she gets into Aishwarya also. She offers prayers to Krishna like Krishna is Godhead. She acknowledges the supremacy and Godhood of Krishna, which Yashoda doesn't do. Nanda Maharaj doesn't do. Vasudeva does. So, Vasudeva and Devaki's Vatsalya Prema in Aishwarya mood is eternal. They don't have to change gear. They don't have, one day they will become like Nanda and Yashoda. That need not happen. And Yashoda and Nanda's Vatsalya Prema towards Krishna in pure Kevala form without any tinges of Aishwarya, that is also eternal. And the difference between these two is also eternal. They are Nitya Siddha Aishwarya Bhaktas, Vatsalya Bhaktas, Vatsalya Aishwarya Bhaktas. These are Nitya Siddha Vatsalya Bhaktas without any Aishwarya. And the difference between them is also Nitya Siddha. That's how Vishnu Chakravarti writes. So now, these are like Ragatmika Bhaktas who have internalized, all the Vrajavasis, they have internalized their love for Krishna in a specific flavor. A Raganuga Bhakta, he is a sadhana bhakta only. Raganuga sadhana bhakti. He tries to emulate certain mood of some devotee, and then he tries to follow in the footsteps of that devotee. Someone wants to love Krishna in Vatsalya mode, Kevala Vatsalya, then they will follow in the footsteps of Vishodamai. So like that they develop affection for Krishna. So form specific, then rasa specific, then the mood, the flavor specific. So like that devotees love Krishna in a certain flavor. All are manifestations of Krishna. They are happy in their rasa. Now, Hanumanji loves Ramachandra only. He doesn't bother to hear or understand or read or worship any other forms. Right? So, that Hanumanji, when he manifests as Murari Gupta, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches him. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ram is an incarnation. You should worship Krishna only. You should change from Ram, whatever, brand, or Ram party to Krishna party. So he was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is repeatedly saying that. Murari Gupta is hearing that, and then one day he just goes and contemplates a lot. Whole night he contemplates. And next day morning he will come and say, my dear Lord Gauranga, I accept your suggestion. I know you are Supreme Personality of Godhead. I accept your suggestion. And accepting your suggestion, if I worship Krishna, it's as good as death for me, because I cannot give up my affection and worship towards Lord Ramachandra. Right? If I give up my devotion to Ram, it's as good as death. I cannot give up my devotion to Lord Ram. And if I don't accept your suggestion to worship Krishna, that is also as good as death. Right? Then I cannot give up your suggestion, I cannot give up my devotion to Lord Ramachandra. So I got a solution. I will give up my life. Then Lord Chaitanya said, don't give up your life. I am seeing you as a perfect example of a devotee's worship towards his beloved deity. So you are setting an ideal example of how a devotee worships the Supreme Lord, whatever form may be. The intensity of devotion that Murari Gupta had for Lord Ramachandra, that same intensity a devotee of Krishna also should imbibe. And you should love Krishna with that same intensity of devotion. If someone loves Narasimha Dev, they should see him as an ideal example. Oh, Murari Gupta's devotion to Ramachandra is so wonderful. So I should develop devotion to Narasimha Dev in a similar manner, like that. So any devotee should love their beloved Lord, beloved deity, like this. That's how Lord Chaitanya appreciated Murari Gupta. So there is no need to change the specific form of Vishnu that one person is worshipping. They are happy in that rasa. So Hanumanji does not hear even other people's glories also. He is worshipping only Ram. So, yes, there is a gradation amongst all the forms of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is the complete form. Krishna as the cowherd boy in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, as Kaishora Murti, that's the topmost manifestation of Absolute Truth. But if a devotee loves him in Dwaraka, what's the problem? So let him love that same form of the Lord in Dwaraka and worship him in that mood. We respect his devotion. We take inspiration from his devotion. But as far as our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is concerned, because we are following this Sampradaya, so we worship the Lord in Vrindavan, Krishna. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Vakalpita. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradara Napara. Our Aradhya Bhagavan, the supreme worshipable Lord for all of us, is Vrajeshatanaya. Vrajeshatanaya means the son of the king of Vrindavan, that is Nanda Maharaj's son, that is Krishna. Krishna in Vrindavan, not even Krishna in Dwaraka. That's our worshipable Lord. And Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargyena Vakalpita. One follows in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan and worships Krishna. So it may not manifest immediately, but the highest aspiration of a Gaudiya Vaishnava is to follow in the footsteps of gopis and worship Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami to write literature about Krishna. And Rupa Goswami started writing. Okay, let me write all the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, and make a drama out of it. When Rupa Goswami is writing, he was also traveling towards Jagannath Puri. So on the way, there is a place called Satyabhamapur. In Satyabhamapur, Rupa Goswami took rest. In his dream, Satyabhama came. She said, write a separate drama for me. For me means for Krishna, Krishna's pastimes in Dwaraka. She just indicated, by my mercy, you will be able to write it. And then she left. So Rupa Goswami started contemplating, maybe I need to divide the drama into two parts. Fine, let's see. Then he goes to Puri. Then one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is staying at Haridas Thakur's place. So he says, he comes and says, there are two Krishnas. One is Yadunandana Krishna. Two is Nanda Maharaj's son Krishna. And he says that one verse and then he leaves. Beautiful verse. And Rupa Goswami is confused. Confused means like he is a little surprised. Satyabhama said the same thing. Lord Chaitanya also said the same thing. It's a confirmation that I have to write two separate dramas. I can't mix both. Then he divided his work into two parts. Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava. Vidagdha Madhava is Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Lalita Madhava is Krishna's pastimes in Dwaraka and Mathura. So there is a specific mood in which a devotee worships the Lord. Here, Hanumanji's mood is to worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Ramachandra as Maryada Purushottam. Very sober, gentlemanly person. So that Ram is described as Lakshmana Agrajam in the first verse. Sita Abhiramam. Sita Abhiramam. Sita Abhiramam means Krishna, Ram. Ram is the husband of Sita Devi and he causes great pleasure to Sita Devi by his darshan. Abhirama gunaka radasha radhe jagadeka dhanurdhara dhiramate raghunayaka rama ramesha vibho varado bhavadeva daya jaladhe. Abhirama gunakara means Krishna. Ram is Abhirama. Very beautiful, very pleasant to take darshan. Gunakara, he is an abode of all great qualities. Dasharadhe, he is the son of Dasharat Maharaj. Abhirama Gunakara Dasharadhe, Jagadeka Dhanurdhara Dhiramate. There is no sober person, gentlemanly person, more than Ramachandra. He is Dhiramate. Jagadeka Dhanurdhara, there is no one who is superior to Ramachandra in handling bow and throwing arrows. Raghunayaka Rama Ramesha Vibho. He is the prominent personality in Raghu dynasty. Rama Ramesha. He is the husband of goddess of fortune, Sita Devi. Varado Bhava Deva Dayajaladhi. So, he is an ocean of compassion. So, that's why Abhirama. Third verse describes the mantra for worshipping Lord Ramachandra. Om namo bhagavate uttama shlokaya nama arya lakshana sila vrataya nama upasikshita atmana upasita lokaya upasita lokaya नमः साधुवाद निकषनाय नमो ब्रह्मण्य देवाय महापुरुषाय महाराजाय नमः इति. सो ओम नमो भगवते उत्तम श्लोकाय मीन्स लॉर्ड रामचंद्र इज ग्लोरिफाइड इन चॉइसेस्ट पोएट्री. उत्तम श्लोक नम आर्यलक्षण शीलव्रताय दट मीन्स कृष्ण राम हैज ऑल गुड क्वालिटीज. आर्य लक्षण, आर्य मीन्स ए सिविलाइज्ड पर्सनैलिटी, नॉट अनसिविलाइज्ड पर्सनैलिटी, वेरी सिविलाइज्ड एंड वेरी जेंटलमैनली पर्सन. ही हैज ऑल गुड क्वालिटीज ऑफ एडवांस्ड पीपल. सो आर्य लक्षण शीलव्रताय हिज कैरेक्टर इज सेलिब्रेटेड बाय एवरीवन. नम उपशिक्षित आत्मना. सो ही कंट्रोल्स हिज माइंड एंड सेंसेस. सो हिज होल एग्जिस्टेंस इज इन हिज कंट्रोल. ही नेवर गोस आउट ऑफ कंट्रोल. नेक्स्ट उपासित लोकाय हिज वर्शिप्ड बाय ऑल द लिविंग एंटिटीज इन ऑल प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम्स. नमः साधुवाद निकषनाय. साधुवाद निकषनाय मीन्स देर इज ए स्टोन, टेस्टिंग स्टोन और टच स्टोन दैट कैन वेरीफाई द क्वालिटीज ऑफ गोल्ड. यू टेक गोल्ड एंड देन डू लाइक दिस एंड ओह दिस 24 कैरेट और वट एवर मे बी द क्वालिटी. यू कैन डिसाइड, यू कैन वेरीफाई द क्वालिटी ऑफ गोल्ड वेदर इट इज गुड और बैड बाय द टेस्टिंग स्टोन. सिमिलरली लॉर्ड रामचंद्र इज लाइक दैट टेस्टिंग स्टोन हु कैन वेरीफाई ऑल द गुड क्वालिटीज. दैट मीन्स when Ramachandra manifests certain quality, the quality is glorified, not Ram. Same in a similar manner Krishna is also glorified. Param padam bhushana bhushanangam. Ornaments are not ornaments of Krishna, but Krishna is the ornament of the ornaments. Because Krishna wore that ornament, that earring is looking beautiful. Not that Krishna became beautiful by wearing that earring or whatever, mukut. Lasat kundalam gokule bharajamanam. So, he verifies all good qualities like a testing stone. Sadhuvada nikashanaya. All the good qualities of a sadhu. Sadhu is not only a renounced person or a beggar or a mendicant. Sadhu means any sober personality who is sticking to the prescribed rules and regulations according to his position, he can be called sadhu. Right? That is, on attaining Lord Ram, all good qualities reach their perfection. For example, Ramachandra is considered an ideal son. There are so many ideal sons in this world, in the previous yugas, but Ram is the most ideal son. Why? Because it's declared that tomorrow is your Pattabhishek. You are about to be coronated as the king of Ayodhya. Tomorrow. At so and so Muhurta. Then the previous night he is called by Kaikeyi. And he was informed that tomorrow for the same Muhurta of Pattabhishek you should go to Vanavas. How long? 14 years. You are not going to be to the king. You will not become the king. And Bharat will become the king. There is not even a slight change in the expression of Ramachandra. He just said, okay, I will do it. And then he went. He offered obeisances and went. So that high degree of detachment, renunciation that Ram could manifest without even an expression change, without asking a single question, why? Yes, okay. Injustice. Eta anyay hai. He never said like that. He didn't ask for reasons. No discussion. I agree. No disappointment. Nothing. He just went. So, to keep the promise of his father. So, any ideal son can do different sacrifices for his father. But Ramachandra did this kind of sacrifice. Now, Ram is the ideal king. One washerman in his kingdom commented that how can Lord Ram keep Sita Devi, still stay with Sita Devi, although she stayed for 1 year in another man's house, place. Then Ram said that, oh, Is it like that? My citizens are feeling like this. So I will give up my wife Sita Devi. He told Lakshman, take her, leave her in the forest and come back. So apparently it seems injustice. But as an ideal king, Lord Ram is very much obliged to his citizens and he is not attached to his wife. How much Lord Ram loves Sita Devi, you can see during his Vanavas when Sita was kidnapped by Ravana. How much he is lamenting. Hanumanji was wondering, what's happening? This is what will happen. He is a brahmachari. He is hardly unable to understand what is the relationship between a wife and husband. He is getting really shocked. Why Ram is lamenting so much? Why is he crying so much? Lakshman was the witness, direct witness, immediate witness of Ram's lamentation. And even the trees in the forest were also shocked to see the lamentation of Ramachandra. Then after Hanumanji went to Lanka and saw Sita Devi in that Ashoka Vatika, he understood. Lord Ram is very hard-hearted. He should have died by this time in separation from that mother Sita Devi. But still, he is alive to meet her again. So that much is the love of Ramachandra towards Sita Devi. But he gave up her. He gave her up just not because some demigod has passed the comment or some great Brahmana has passed the comment or not because some sage has suggested him, it's not proper for you. No, one washerman made that comment. Even a washerman in my kingdom also should be satisfied with my character. That's what Lord Ram wanted. That's an ideal king. So, to satisfy a washerman, Lord Ram could have done so many things. To satisfy a washerman, Ram has given up Sita. Where is Sita Devi and where is washerman? And what is this thing? Sita Devi already did Agni Pariksha in Lanka. Still, Ram considered that if I continue to stay with Sita Devi, now a dhobiwala, a washerman commented, in future the kings may comment. Kings may maintain so many illicit connections with so many women and then they quote Ramachandra as an example. If Ram could maintain Sita Devi, why can't we maintain relationship with some other person? They may quote me. So as a king, I am supposed to be ideal. So let me just give up Sita Devi. He found that appropriate. And Sita Devi also understood the mood of Ramachandra. Although it's very painful for her, she did not come and then did some protest in Ayodhya. She just accepted the decision of Ram. And that has another background also. But in any case, Ram is such an ideal person. So the quality of being an ideal king, ideal son, ideal husband or ideal husband to reclaim Sita Devi, what all he has done. He has taken millions and millions of monkeys as an army to attack Ravana, Lanka. He gathered so much of army. Prabhupada writes that Ram could have created millions of Sitas, but to reclaim one Sita, to teach the duty of a husband, he did so much of endeavor to retrieve her. That's an ideal husband. Ideal husband, ideal brother, ideal son, ideal king, like that. So all these qualities are glorious, but these qualities are manifested to the maximum possible extent by Ramachandra. A person may be a charitable person. He gives charity. He will give 10 rupees charity. Someone else will give 100 rupees charity. Someone else will give 1000 rupees charity. Someone else will give 1 CR. 10 CR as charity. All can be called as charitable persons. But one who gives millions of dollars as charity is considered the most charitable person. Right? Than a person who gives 10 rupee note although he has millions of dollars in his bank. Right? Similarly, different people will follow dharma and manifest good qualities to a certain extent. But Ram manifests them to the maximum possible extent. That's why he is called testing stone, who verifies the qualities. The quality will attain the highest perfection. For example, people make these video games on the phones or some other thing. So there is a program. You do this, you take this step and it will happen like this, you take that step, it will happen like this, and the whole program is made. But different people can use that pre-programmed game, video game, and score different points, score points to different degrees. Everybody who plays that video game will not get the maximum points. Right? So there are some expert video game players who get the maximum points, like they get big scores. So Ram is like that. These qualities are there. So the game will get maximum credibility or popularity when someone, very superior person, some celebrity plays that game and then score certain points, then that will get some, attract some kind of attention of many different people. So when Lord Ram exhibits a character, exhibits a quality, he, that quality gets lot of attraction and glorification in the eyes of people in general. That's why he is called Arya Lakshana Sila Vrataya. What else? Namo Brahmanya Devaya. He is the worshipper. He is worshipped by most qualified Brahmanas. So Ram loves and worships Brahmanas so much that he conducts sacrifices and he gives charity to the Brahmanas. He gives entire kingdom that he has as a charity to the Brahmanas. He gives whatever he has in his palace, in his treasure house, in everything in his possession as charity. Only his personal clothes and Sita Devi's nose ring was left with him. Everything was given as a charity to Brahmanas after he attained that Ramarajya. Then Brahmana said, "We are very happy that you are staying in our hearts. We don't need all this external charity, this wealth. What do we do, my dear Ram? So the benediction of you being in our hearts is millions of times greater than the charity that we are receiving now in the form of these possessions. So our request to you is, please accept this kingdom back and please rule it." Then he took it back as a servant. Brahmana Uchishta he took. So Mahapurushaya, he is the supreme person. Maharajaya, the king of all kings. Someone who is doing his managerial activities or government activities well, they are compared to Ramachandra, Ramarajya. So next, fourth verse.
Yattadvishuddhanubhavamatramekam svatejasadhvastagunavyavastham pratyak prashantam sudhiyopalambhanam yanamarupam niraham prapadye.
The Lord,
yattadvishuddhanubhavamatramekam, who can experience Ram? Yattad vishuddha anubhavamatramekam, one who is very pure in his consciousness can experience Ram, because he also is transcendentally pure. Ram's form is transcendentally pure, vishuddha, he is vishuddha, and ekam, he is one without a second, and he is perceived or he is understood by someone who is also pure. Yattad vishuddha anubhavamatram ekam svatejasa dhvasta gunavyavastham. Svatejasa means by his own prowess. Dhvasta, he will completely vanquish what? Gunavyavastha. Vyavastha, the system of modes of material nature. The modes of material nature create a system in this world. System or structure, infrastructure, what is that called? Protocol. What is vyavastha? System only, right? Facility. That's a different context. Vyavastha is like, basically here is the system. That what is created by material modes, dhvasta. Ram can completely vanquish that gunavyavastha. Svatejasa, by his own prowess, by his spiritual potency. Pratyak prashantam. Pratyak prashantam means he is very peaceful, undisturbed, not at all agitated, and he can be perceived by someone who is prashanta also. He himself is
very peaceful. If you are also peaceful, we can see this supreme peaceful person. Pratyak Prashantam. He is not seen with material eyes. Who is the most peaceful person? One who has one whose spiritual consciousness awakened. Pratyak Prashantam. Sudhiya Upalambhanam. Sudhiya means good intelligence, means pure consciousness. Sudhiya Upalambhanam means he is realized only by people who have pure consciousness. Pratyak Prashantam Sudhiyopalambhanam Hyanamarupam Niraham Prapadye. He Anamarupam. Anamarupam means Ram does not have a name or form which is material. His name is spiritual, his form is spiritual. Hyanamarupam Niraham Prapadye. Niraham means he has no false ego. Ram does not have false ego. Prapadye, I surrender unto him. Niraham Prapadye can also mean without any false ego, I surrender unto him. He does not have any false identity. And I give up all my false identity and surrender unto that Lord. Nir aham prapadya can also mean, nir means nishchayena, means you are ascertaining it. Aham prapadya, I surrender. Aham means I, prapadya means I take shelter of Ram. Nir means certainly. With certainty I say that I take shelter of Ram. Vibhishan said it, I surrender unto you. I am yours. So this is the prayer to Lord Ramachandra.
Niraham Prapadye.
Prabhupada writes, Ramadi Murti Sukala Niyamena Tishthan Nanavatara Makarod Bhavaneshu Kintu. Krishna, who is Vishnu Tattva, expanded himself into many forms. One is Ramachandra's form. Vishnu Tattva is carried by transcendental bird Garuda. And he is equipped with different types of weapons in 4 hands or 8 hands or 10 hands in different forms. But Ram has no 4 hands. He has only 2 hands. And he is carried by Hanumanji, not Garudji. But still he is Vishnu Tattva. So, this verse, 4th verse, clarifies that Ram is as good as Krishna. So, Ram is Prashanta. He is never disturbed by moods. Pratyak Prashanta means unless one is also situated in that mode of goodness or beyond modes, he can only appreciate Ramachandra, transcendental value of Ramachandra. Ravana kidnapped material Sita, not original Sita. Ravana considered Ram as an ordinary material king. He thought that I will separate Sita Devi from Ram for my enjoyment. Ram is a state devoid of Maya. But even a purified Jiva is also devoid of Maya. What's so different? What is so great in Ram? His form is devoid of Maya by the power of his own form. Svatejasa dhvasta gunavyavastam. So dhvasta gunavyavastam means vanquishing the effect of modes upon oneself. Modes cannot influence me anymore. That is dhvasta gunavyavastam. A devotee also can do it. A saintly person also can do it. A saintly person is also not influenced by material modes. What's the difference between Ram and the saintly person? A saintly person can vanquish the influence of modes by dint of his devotional service to Ram or Krishna. But Ram is not like that. Svatejasa dhasta gunavyavastham. By his own potency, by his own spiritual potency, he can vanquish the system created by these modes. He can do things on his own, independently. But others cannot do. Others depend on him to do it. And devotees happily depend on him. So, yam evaisha vrunite tena labhyaha labhyaha. The Supreme Lord can be seen or perceived only by persons who are saturated with devotional service. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasadaiva hrdayeshu viloka yanti. Unless one's vision is imbued with love for Lord, he cannot perceive him. And Prabhupada differentiates between Paramatma and Jivatma in this purport. Anamarupam niraham. He quotes Chandogya Upanishad. He says, Etas Tishro Devata Anena Jivena. Anena means that distinguishes Atma and Paramatma as two separate identities. Tisro Devata. Body of living entities made of three material forms, fire, earth and water. Although Paramatma enters the heart of Jivatma, he has nothing to do with Jivatma's body. Jivatma doesn't identify himself. Paramatma does not identify himself with body, but Jivatma does it. So, Jivatma is influenced, designated by material body, but Paramatma is not. So, Jivatma is different from his name. A blind boy may be named as Padmalochan or Nayanasukh by his father. But you may name like that, proposes. You may name him as Padmalochan, but Padmalochan means something else, not this person. But when you give that name to Ram, Padmalochan, Rajiva Lochanam, some South Indian saint describes Ram as Rajiva Lochan, Rajiva Lochanam Ramachandram. So, he has lotus-like eyes, right? That is true. That's a description of his personality. So, that's the difference between Paramatma and Jivatma. Niraham, which means without any material designations, without that ahankara or I-ness, I surrender unto Ramachandra. So, fifth verse.
Martyavatarastvihamartyasikshanam Rakshovadhayayivanakevalam vibhoha Kutonyathasya dramatahasa atmanam Sitakritani vyasananishvarasyam.
It was ordained by that Ravana could not be killed by any man. And Chandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of human being. Lord Ramchandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also teach the mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita?
This is another beautiful shloka. One shloka comes in that Suprabhatam.
Avanita nayaka maniyakaram rajanika racharu mukhamburuham Rajani chara rajatamo viharam mahaniyamaham raghuramamaye Avanitanaya kamaniyakaram. Avanitanaya is Sita Devi. She is the daughter of Mother Earth. Kamaniyakaram. Lord Ram enchants her. Rajani kara charu mukhamburuham. His face is like the moon. Rajani kara. Rajani is the night. Rajanikara Charumukhamburaham means the king of the night, that is moon. Lord Ramachandra's face is like moon, that's why he is called Ramachandra. He has moon-like face. Rajanikara Charumukhamburaham, Rajanichara Rajatamo Viharam. Rajanichara means what? One who wanders in night. Rajanikara is king of night. Rajanichara means one who wanders in night. Who are they? Rakshasas. Rajani chara raja means king of rakshasas, that is Ravana. Rajani chara raja tamo viharam. He subdued the king of demons, that is Ravana, who is the king of rakshasas who wander in the night. Tamo viharam, his darkness has been subdued. Mahaniyamaham raghuramamayi. So I surrender unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead who is so great. Mahaniyamaham. So that Ramachandra descended not to kill Ravana alone, but by that killing, he also wants to give lessons to all the followers of Ram or people in general. Martyavataram iha martya sikshanam.
This verse says, Martya avataram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead descended as a human being. Martya means human being. Why he, human being is called Martya? Because he is subject to death. Martyavataram
iha martya sikshanam. He has incarnated as a martya, human being, to give sikshan, training to martyas, human beings. To teach human beings, he became human being. Just like to teach devotional service, the Lord became a devotee as Lord Gauranga. Similarly, to teach human beings, Ramachandra became as a human being. Martyavataram iha martya sikshanam. Rakshovadhayava nache na kevalam vibho. Rakshovadhaya means not just to kill rakshasas. Kevalam means only. He did not descend only for the purpose of killing Rajanichara Raja. So, vibho. Next, kutonyatha syad ramatahasva atmanaha. Otherwise, why would he, the enjoyer who is satisfied in himself, suffer in separation from Sita? So, he is suffering so much when Sita was kidnapped by Ramachandra. And who is he? He is kuto anyatha ramatahasva atmanaha. Ramatahasva atmanaha means svatman ratehi. He takes pleasure in himself only. He is self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything beyond himself for his satisfaction or pleasure. He is completely satisfied within himself. But he is suffering. That self-satisfied personality is suffering out of separation from Sita. Why this separation and why this suffering in the self-satisfied person? Martya, eha martya sikshanam, to give sikshan, training to people. What training is he giving by his suffering, by his lamentation? Ram is lamenting for Sita. How is he training people in general? Two ways. So, we know, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkrutam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord comes to protect the sadhus and to kill the miscreants. That's one thing. Protecting devotees also means to train the devotees, to teach them good conduct, to teach them what to do and what not to do, what is good and what is bad. So, by suffering and lamenting in separation from Sita, Ram taught to two categories of people. Number one, a lesson for the devotees. The lesson for the devotees is, if you enter married life and if you are attached to materialistic household life, then sufferings are inevitable. So, attachment to household life will lead to suffering. That's one lesson, one section that Ram has given. Number two. And to support this, to substantiate this lesson, Prabhupada quotes, Yan maithunadis grahamedhi sukham hituchham kandu yanena karayo yava dukha dukham. Grahamedhi means an attached materialistic householder. Enjoyment is tuchham, is so abominable, right? So that's what is mentioned. That's the tribulations that Lord Ram underwent in separation from his wife are an indication of materialistic household life. He is giving a message to that category. Lord Ram's household life is not materialistic. Honest devotees of Lord Ramachandra, when they are in household life, that is not materialistic. But he is giving a message that household life, if he is not centered around Krishna consciousness or Ram consciousness, it's centered around so many tribulations, right? That's like one lesson. Second lesson, this lesson is for the followers of dharma, strict followers of religious principles. What is that lesson? If one accepts a wife, if one marries a woman, at any cost, he should offer protection to her. A chaste wife has to be protected by all kinds of endeavors by her husband. He cannot afford to neglect a chaste wife. Ram did that. From one side, he is teaching that materialistic household life is filled with tribulations. From another side, he is also teaching that he should protect a chaste wife. To both parties, he gave that message. You should endure all kinds of sufferings and difficulties to offer protection and support to a chaste wife. You cannot neglect.
So Ram could have produced hundreds and thousands of Sitas from his pleasure potency, but he did not do. To reclaim one Sita, he underwent a lot of struggle. Ram appeared to teach dharma by following dharma, and to teach prema, he was controlled by prema. That Ram's lamentation should be seen from two perspectives. One, he is teaching dharma. A chaste wife should be given protection and she should be reclaimed. That is one. That is dharma. There is prema. He is so controlled by the love and affection of Sita Devi that I will do anything and everything to bring her back to me. That is prema. He is controlled by the love and affection of his devotees. Right? So that's the reason behind Ram's lamentation. He is teaching dharma and he is also teaching prema. This is called Vipralambharasa. Now we have seen two perspectives. There is a third perspective. Two are like little external. One, problems of materialistic household life. Number two, duty of a husband. Number three, on a spiritual plane, what's happening between Ram and Sita Devi is Vipralambharasa. That's the topmost, that's the highest manifestation of love, Madhurya Rasa. Now, one may raise some contradictions. How can Atmaram suffer? Ram is Atmaram. He is self-satisfied. If he is self-satisfied, why is he suffering? As if he is lacking something. If Ram is self-satisfied, how can he enjoy Sita? Means he is taking satisfaction from someone else. Answer is, Sita is a part of Ram's Swarupa Shakti. Swarupa Shakti. Sita is also a part of Ram. Sita is the pleasure potency of Ram. If Ram is enjoying his own potency, that doesn't contradict his definition or his being an Atmaram. Right? If I use my own mobile or my own book, no one will call me a thief. No one will call me as dependent on someone else. I'm self-dependent if I use my own book, my own mobile, my own chair, my own table. But if I'm asking, you give me your table, give me your book, give me your pen, give me your pencil, then I'm dependent on others. So Ram is using his own pleasure potency for his pleasure. So that doesn't contradict his definition as being Atmaram if he enjoys with Sita Devi. Or if he suffers in separation from Sita Devi. So now, if Sita is a part of his Swarupa, where is the question of separation? And if there is no question of separation, there is no question of suffering in separation also, lamentation in separation also. Why is he crying so much when Sita was kidnapped? Answer is, that is the way of experiencing rasa. The pleasure of meeting between the lover and beloved is enhanced when there is separation. This separation acts as an impetus to intensify the pleasure in meeting. 1 year of suffering, 1 year of separation will make the relationship so thick. Right? So, by a particular function of Chit Shakti of the Lord, one supreme tattva is divided into two parts. One part is tattva with opulences. Right? Or bliss with opulences. So bliss with six opulences, six powers, that is Krishna. And the second part of the tattva is bliss without any of those opulences, pure bliss, that is all the devotees of the Lord in the four primary rasas, Madhurya rasa, Sakhya rasa, Vatsalya rasa and Dasya rasa. Of these four rasas, devotees in these four rasas, they enjoy their relationship with Ram or Krishna in their own way. However, as a neutral party, as a third party, when you do an unbiased comparison between these four, amongst these four rasas, Madhurya stands as the topmost. And that Madhurya is experienced to the maximum extent in separation. When there is separation between the lover and beloved, that Madhurya Rasa is experienced a lot. Krishna desires for that kick or punch of Vipralambha Rasa, love in separation. There is no course, there is no certificate course that can give you certificate that you are in love with Ram or love with Krishna. Love is tested to the extent one feels separation from the beloved. To the extent one misses the beloved, to that extent he has love or she has love. Radha and Krishna and all the gopis of the gopis of Vrindavan, they love Krishna so much that they feel separation from the Lord even within one eye blink. Within one eye blink, they experience millions of separation, millions of years of separation from Krishna, and they criticize Brahmaji for designing the human bodies like that. He is not a very intelligent person. He should take my consultancy and then manufacture the body without eyelids. And why only two eyes? There should be hundreds of eyes and thousands of eyes to see the beauty of Krishna. Two eyes are not sufficient. He gave only two eyes, that too they are blinking. How can we relish the pleasure of Krishna? They feel separation from Krishna even in his presence. You know the story of the manifestation of Prem Sarovar, how Radha is feeling separation from Krishna even in the presence of Krishna. So, as I said, second tattva is divided into four of these four rasas. Thus, the transcendental tribulations underwent by the Lord and his devotees are not on a material plane. Ram's suffering is not material suffering. Emotions, Prabhupada writes here, although Vishnu and his devotees may apparently suffer material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are mukta purushas, liberated persons under all circumstances. That viraha is enhancing their bliss. Emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Example, the separation between Sita and Ram. Sixth verse is also describing the Lord Ram's quality as a dutiful king. So not only that he experienced separation from husband, from wife, as a dutiful husband and beloved husband, he also had to experience separation from his beloved brother, Lakshman. And as a dutiful king, he even banished his own brother. You see, Navaisa Atmatma Vatam Suhruttamaha Saktastrilokyam Bhagavan Vasudevaham Nastrikritam Kashmalamam Asnuvitam Na Lakshmanam Chapi Vihatam Vihatu Marhati.
Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev, he is not attached to anything in his material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of the separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up there would have been absolutely impossible.
So Ram has six opulences. Ram gave up Sita Devi and also Lakshman as a dutiful king. His love and affection for Sita was described very elaborately in the fifth verse. And now his dutiful attitude as a king is described in the sixth verse. Last verse, fifth verse. Out of six opulences, there is renunciation. He is not attached to anything in the material world. Affairs of the material world take place under the superintendence of Durga. Srishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka. He need not give attention to that. His servants are taking care. He is specifically attached to the spiritual world and the living entities there. Like Sita Devi and Lakshman are the eternal associates of Ram, and he loves them, and there is no separation between them on a spiritual plane. But in the material world, he has to align his activities according to the protocols here. This is how a king should behave. This is how a husband should behave. This is how a brother should behave. Like that. Although he is super soul of all living entities, he is specifically manifest to those who are self-realized. Because Ram descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be, he apparently gave up Sita and Lakshman. Apparently. But internally there is no separation only. One should learn about the activities of Ram from a self-realized soul. Next, 7th verse. Na janma noonam mahato na saubhagam na vanna buddhir na kritistosha hetuhu tairyadvisrishtanapino vanaukasaham chakara sakhe bata lakshmanagraja. This verse is specifically spoken by Sugriva. He is also next to Hanuman. Na janma noonam mahato na saubhagam. Janma means high birth. Mahata, great power. Saubhagam is wealth. Vak means eloquence, power of speech. Buddhi, intelligence. Akriti, akriti means form, shape, that is beauty. So this high birth, wealth, eloquence, intelligence, beauty, all these are not the prerequisites to attain the friendship of Ramchandra. Na janmanunam mahatona saubhagam navanna buddhir nakritir tosha hetuhu. They do not satisfy Ramachandra. Ramachandra is not pleased with these qualities. Sugriva says, Tairyad visrishtan apino vanaukasaha chakara sakhe bata lakshmanagrajaha. Still, although we do not have high birth, they are monkey birth. They are having monkey birth. Akriti, they are having monkey forms. And what else? Eloquence, Hanumanji is said to be eloquent, but not all monkeys. Then beauty, so all these are not there. By wealth, they are just living in some caves and all that. So they are not having all this. These monkeys and bears are not having all these great material qualities which are given so much of value and importance by so many people. But Ram is not impressed with all of that. Otherwise, why would Ram make friendship with this vanaukasaha, forest dwellers? We are vanaukasaha means we are living in forest. We are forest dwellers. We are Taruvasis, not Puravasis. Taruvasi means one who lives on trees. Where do monkeys live? In forest, in trees. They are just living, jumping from one branch to another branch, sleeping on any branch, plucking up some fruits and eating. So he made friendship with them. So why? Because they have love and affection and devotion towards Ram. But they may not have wealth and beauty and other things. But Ram is more impressed with this. Krishna is akinchana gochara. Means not, kinchana means something of this material world. Akinchana means one who does not possess anything, one who does not have possessiveness towards anything in this material world becomes dear to the Lord. Those who are puffed up by janma, aishwarya, shruta, sri, unfortunately do not care for developing Krishna consciousness. Nor does the Lord care so much about their material qualifications. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. If you have bhakti, you can understand Ram. Saveda dhatum padavim parasya duranta viryasya rathanga panehe yo amayaya santataya anuvritya bhajeta tatpada sarojagandham. Who can understand the Lord? One who performs unreserved, unmotivated, constant, favorable devotional service to the Lord, Rama or Krishna, he can understand him, not everyone else. Supreme Lord is achieved by devotion, bhaktyamam abhijanati. One's devotion and sincere desire or eagerness to serve the Lord are the only qualifications. Laulyam ekam mulyam. Then Lord Ram will become friend towards all those people. So he is the typical example. Sridhar Kulavecha is the typical example of how a poor man with no material possessions can become most exalted devotee of the Lord. Prabhupada quotes Chaitanya Bhagavat. So these are the qualities to achieve the friendship or suhrut, suhrudam, friendship of Ram. This another verse is also there. Sumukham suhrudam sulabham svanujancha sukhaya mamoghasharam apahaya raghudvahamanyamaham nakathancha nakancha najatu bhaje. Sumukham, beautiful face. Suhrudam, loving heart. Beautiful heart, friendly heart. Sumukham, suhrudam, sulabham, very easily approachable person. Who can approach him? Even enemy also can approach him. Vibhishan approached him. He had that confidence. If I go to Ram's party, they will kill me. He did not think like that. He just went to Ram, being the brother of Ram's enemy, Ram's so-called enemy, Ravana. And Ram just accepted him. What about you? Your brother also comes. I will just accept him. I will accept Ravana also. Sumukham, suhrudam, sulabham, svanujancha, sukhayama, moghasaram. Svanujancha, sukhaya. He just gives so much of pleasure, sukha and happiness to all his people. Amoghasaram. When Ram releases an arrow, amogha, it cannot come back. Means it will not pierce. It's not that it will never pierce the target. It has to pierce the target. Apahaya raghudvaha manyamaham nakathanchana kanchana jatu bhaji. Giving up such Lord Ramachandra, who is so friendly, who is so magnanimous, whose other shelter, who is that other person who can give me shelter, and whose other shelter I should take? I will not give up. That's what Hanumanji says. So, in the 8th verse, which is the concluding verse of Ram's prayers, Hanumanji says, Suro asuro vapyathava naro nara sarvatmanaya sukurtagnam uttamam bhajeta ramam manuja kritim harim ya uttaran anayat koshalandivam.
Therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, man or a creature other than man, such as a beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus, he is satisfied. As soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha.
Suro asuro vapi atha vanaro naraha. Whether you are a sura, demigod, asura, rakshasa, demon, atha vanara, whether you are a non-human being, vanara is generally used for monkeys. But vanara, anara, anara means one who is not a human being. That is bird, beast, animal, anyone other than a human being. Nara, or human being. Sarvatmana, wholeheartedly, sukurtagnam uttamam. If one surrenders unto the Lord Ramachandra, Lord will just accept him. He is very satisfied, very easily satisfied with little service offered by anyone, whichever species he may be. During that making of bridge, when squirrel comes and then just throws some sand particles as binding material or whatever between the rocks. But Ram is very satisfied with that squirrel also. Bhajeta Ramam Manujakritim Harim. I worship Rama, who descended in Manuja Akriti, in the form of a human being. He is Hari, but he came in Manujakriti. Bhajeta Ramam Manujakritim Harim. Ya uttaran anayat koshalan divam. So he brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. Ayodhya vasis loved Ram so much that Ram's feet are so delicate. When he is walking in the forests of Dandakaranya, Lord Ram's feet are so delicate that they cannot bear the touch of the lotus hands or fingers of Mother Sita also. Sita touches those feet, they become red. So without wearing slippers, Ramachandra is traveling in Dandakaranya forest. He was wearing slippers, but Bharat came and took them. So he was walking barefoot. Just like Krishna is walking barefoot in Vrindaranya, Ram is walking barefoot in Dandakaranya. Then, just by thinking that our dear Ram is walking without any slippers, what will happen to his feet? Some pebbles or some thorns might pierce his feet. Just by this thought, Ayodhyavasis faint. So that is the extent to which Ayodhyavasis love Ramachandra. So he took all of them back to Vaikuntha. So this is the final prayer of our Hanumanji. Prabhupada writes in this purport, Krishna and Ram, in the manner of Kshatriyas, sometimes showed their mercy by killing asuras. But Lord Chaitanya awarded love of Godhead without difficulty even to asuras also. Yes, Ram is magnanimous, no doubt about it. Krishna is also magnanimous, no doubt about it. But they show mercy by killing asuras. They deliver them. But Lord Chaitanya, same Ram and same Krishna, when they come in the form of Lord Chaitanya, they transform the hearts of asuras. They fill their hearts with love of Godhead. So the best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping Shadbhujamurti, who is a combination of Ram, Krishna and Narasimha and Lord Chaitanya. Okay. Next, we completed those prayers. We'll go to next verse. We have how much time? 6:45, 7? 7. Okay. Read 9th verse.
Shukadeva Goswami continued, the glories of Supreme Personality of Godhead are inconceivable. He has appeared in the form of Naranarayana in the land of Bharatavarsha at the place known as Badrikashram, to favor his devotees by teaching them religion, knowledge, renunciation, spiritual power, sense control and freedom from false ego. He is advanced in the opulence of spiritual assets and he engages in executing austerity until the end of this millennium. This is the process of self-realization.
Naranarayana Rishis, they are the presiding deities in Bharatavarsha. So this is the final prayer, 9th set of prayers offered by residents of Jambudvipa. In Bharatavarsha, Narada Muni offers prayers to Naranarayana Rishi. Prabhupada writes in this purport that it is impossible to realize oneself simply by absorbing oneself in speculation and material activities. One must be very serious about self-realization and practice of austerity. Fallen Kali Yuga people don't even know the meaning of austerity. Austerity means accepting voluntary inconveniences upon oneself for a higher purpose. And that austerity is of body, mind and words. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya bhyasanam chayiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. This is the austerity of speech. Similarly, there is austerity of many other faculties. So, that austerity has to be performed. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the easiest method of self-realization, technically called Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. Extremely simple. One has to chant the glorious Krishna Sankirtan, Hare Krishna, for purifying one's heart. Okay, next. Actually, bright students, one who is very good, scholarly or very disciplined student, if you put pass mark for them as 80%, they can easily pass. That's the situation of previous yugas. But considering the students one has to reduce the pass mark. Okay, 80% nahi, 65% bas. If not 65, 35%. More degraded. Those who failed in all exams in the previous yugas, they come to Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, pass mark is reduced. And Lord Chaitanya, pass mark bhi nahi. Just come and attend the exam, I will pass you. Just come to exam hall, at least I will pass you. That's the... And what kind of... I will give you distinction. So, prema namamrutam atyudaraha, ati udaraha. He is most magnanimous. He will give his naam. Along with naam, he will give prem. Prem, where is prema? Prema is the... prema pumartha mahan, ultimate aspiration of every soul. He will give that highest, topmost benediction just by taking naam. Where is naam and where is prem? Naam anyone can take. A child also can take naam. It's not meditation by sitting with back straight, closing his eyes and for focusing on the tip of the nose, and for 10,000 years you meditate, 60,000 years you meditate, or you perform so many big, big sacrifices with all first-class ingredients and first-class young priests, or you perform deity worship with all best paraphernalia available. No, it's just taking name. Even a child can do. He reduced the pass mark so much. And even if you come into the exam hall, I will give you gold medal. Right? Naam, take prem. Take naam, take prem. So he has made it very easy in Kali Yuga. So the austerity that is there in Kali Yuga is very meager. If we think that following four regulative principles is an austerity, or fasting on Ekadashi is an austerity, that is also too much for Kali Yuga people. Following Ekadashi is an austerity, or attending Mangalarti at 4:30 is an austerity. If one thinks like that, then let him take birth in Satya Yuga and understand what exactly is austerity. Going under the water, sitting for 10,000 years, Prachetas did that. So that is austerity. So we are nowhere close to the word austerity also, Kali Yuga people. But for this meager amount of austerity, Lord Chaitanya is ready to give prema. Go, directly. Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayor Das Dasan. Go, go. I just came to vacate this material world. Come, whoever is ready, come in. So, Patra Patra Na Dekhi. That someone, Bengali verse comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, 7th chapter. When Kaviraj Goswami is describing the glories of Panchatattva. Panchatattva opened Prema Bhandar and plundered that Prema Bhandar and distributing them. Whether he is qualified or not qualified, we don't mind. We just want to inundate the entire world with Prema. This is our motto. Who is qualified, who is not qualified, is not our business. So, we will be cheated and misled and waste human life if we follow anthropology, Marxism, nationalism, etc. We should follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who gave the easiest method of self-realization, technically called Cheto Darpana Marjanam, and chant Hare Krishna. Propose conclusion. 10th verse, read.
In his own book, known as Narada Pancharatra, Bhagavan Narada has very vividly described how to work to achieve the ultimate goal of life, devotion, through knowledge and through execution of the mystic yoga system. He has also described the glories of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sage Narada instructed the tenets of this transcendental literature to Savarni Manu in order to teach those inhabitants of Bharatavarsha who strictly follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma how to achieve the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, Narada Muni, along with the other inhabitants of Bharatavarsha, always engages in the service of the Narayana, and he chants as follows.
So, Narada worships Narayana. Bharata Bhumite Haila Manushya Janma Yar. This verse Prabhupada quotes multiple times in these few prayers. Krishna consciousness movement started not only for Bharatavarsha vasis, it's for the whole world. Prabhupada here equates Bharatavarsha with India in his purports, very contextual. There is still time, and if the inhabitants of Bharatavarsha take this Krishna consciousness movement seriously, entire world will be saved from gliding down to hellish condition. Now, The 11th verse describes the mantra for Naranarayan Rishis. That is Upashama Shilaya. Upashama Shila means most self-controlled. They have mastered their senses. Uparatatmanaya. Uparatatmanatmyaya. That is one who has no material attachment. Uparata anatmyaya. Next, akinchana vittaya. Their only asset is persons who are devoid of material assets. Rishi Rishabhaya means most exalted saintly persons, best of all rishis. Paramahamsa Paramaguravi, most exalted spiritual master of all Paramahamsas, all liberated people. Atmarama Adhipatayi, he is the best of all self-realized souls. Atmarama means self-realized people, self-satisfied people. Adhipatayi means best of all of them. The persons who think that knowing about Atma is not necessary is called Anatma. Anatmya is the condition of being like that. The Lord is indifferent to Anatmya people. Rudeham Adyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Gurukarana Dharam Mayanu Kulena Nabhasvateritam. What's the next line? Puman Bhavabdhim Nataret Sa Atmaha. Atmaha means killer of soul. He is called Anatmya. One who does not take advantages of this strong human body and a bona fide guru and the favorable winds of scriptures and cross over this material existence, he is a killer of soul. Thus, such people are called Anatmya. Next, 12th verse, very important verse. Kartasya sarga dishuyo anabadhyate nahanyate dehagatopi daihikaihi. Drashturna drugyasya gunair vidushyate tasmai namo sakta vivikta sakshine. Kartasya sargadishu. Karta means the doer, the performer. Of what? Sargadishu. Sarga. Sarga means creation. Sargadishu means creation, maintenance and destruction. It is the Supreme Lord who performs this creation, maintenance and destruction. Kartasya sargadishu yo na badhyate. Although he performs these activities in relationship with the material creation, he is not bound by them. Na badhyate. Next. When someone creates something, he is bound by it. A man creates a building, his house. He creates a garden in front of his house. He makes a swimming pool behind his house. There's a lot of landscaping he does. And he gets attached to this. He feels like I have to stay in this house. He wants to show off to all the people in this world, his neighbors. See, I have made such a great house. Someone writes a book. He wants to show off. He wants to advertise. Someone writes or someone designs something. Someone cooks something. So that attention-seeking tendency is there in everyone. And that attachment to one's own creations and desiring an acknowledgement and attention and appreciation for it is there in everyone in this material world. Most people. The degree to which it manifests may be different in different people. Somebody may have this desire, somebody has this much desire, somebody has that much desire. But that is there. So, attachment to one's own creations, attachment to one's own conceptions and ideas. But what can be, can you defeat Krishna in creating the material world? You must have created something with the ingredients available in Krishna's creation only. You just took some ingredients, manipulated them, and then this is what I have created. I have created, I am the creator. So there is an ego there, false ego there. But see, Krishna is kartasya sargadishu yo nabadhyate. He is not bound by it. He is not attached to it. He is not advertising, I am this, I am that. So he is aloof from this. Next. Na hanyate dehagatopi daihikaihi. Dehagatopi means he accepts so many forms, so many bodies. When a soul accepts a material body, as in the form of an animal or a human being or a demigod or bird or whatever, there is some bandhan, there is some suffering because of that body. Body gives some suffering. But the Lord accepts so many forms in this world, in different species, but He is not experiencing any troubles because of accepting that body, manifesting in that form. He is unaffected by bodily tribulations. Na hanyate dehagatopi dehikaihi. Third, drashtur na drugyasya gunair vidushyate. Drashtur, he sees. But drugyasya gunair vidushyate. Although he sees, he is not affected by that vision. One who sees, for example, a boy sees a beautiful girl, he is affected by desire to enjoy. A girl sees a man, she is also affected by desire. Or a child sees a chocolate, he is attracted by a desire to enjoy it. A man may see a bike or a car, he may get attracted by it. So like the different people, because of the certain combination of modes that they are being influenced with, they get attracted by what they see, the objects that they see. Someone is in need, someone is hungry, he sees a rasgulla, he gets attracted by it. Water is there in his mouth. So our vision affects us. Why? Because there are modes. Gunair vidushyate drashturna drugyasya gunair vidushyate. Because one is influenced by gunas, material modes, one is affected. Someone who is influenced by tamoguna or rajoguna, when he sees a fish market, he gets attracted, he gets into ecstasy. Someone who is in mode of goodness, I should go from a different route now. I get that bad smell of this. He'll just go in some other route, although it is long route, because he is influenced by a different mode. But Krishna, how much he is seeing as the super soul in the hearts of every single conditioned living entity, he is witnessing every single activity and he is recording every single thought that is manifesting in the mind of every single living entity in the entire cosmic manifestation. After seeing so much, he is not affected by anything. Drashturna drugyesya gunair vidushyate. Because he is beyond the gunas, he is not influenced by vision, by seeing something. But if one is influenced by gunas, depending on which guna or which combination of gunas he is getting influenced, he gets affected by his vision. So, tasmai namo asakta vivikta sakshini. I offer my obeisances unto that asakta, unattached, vivikta, pure sakshi, witness. I offer my obeisances to an attached pure witness of all the activities of everyone. Since everything is Krishna's property, he sees everything and is present everywhere. But because his body is transcendental, he is above vision, above the objects of vision and above the process of vision. Above the vision, above the objects of vision, above the process of vision. He is not afflicted with faulty vision. Okay. If one sees a gulab jamun, he is affected. If he is a man with diabetes, he says he becomes afraid of that vision of gulab jamun. If he is a lover of sweets, he is affected by a desire to taste that gulab jamun. Someone is a non-spicy man, he is affected by seeing a mirchi. Just by seeing a mirchi, he just runs away. If someone is a spicy man, he likes to eat chilies, get me more. Already sabji is spicy, he keeps 2-3 mirchis around him. And takes one bite of every... Some people are like that. They are affected by it. They like that. Different people have different tastes. But some other people, they become really afraid of mirchi. Once in Otappa, there was some mirchi. I thought that it is beans and ate it. And Nayanam Galadashru Dharaya Vadanam Gadgadaruddhayagira. Then after that, when I see beans also, I keep it aside. It may be mirchi, who knows? Because they cut beans also very in a fine way. Sometimes it's a little confusing. You can't discriminate. So there is this proverb in Hindi. Dudh ka muh jala da, chas bhi phuk phuk. Mirchi se muh jala da, beans bhi dekh dekh ke khata. So it's like that. One is affected by vision. He is attracted to sense objects, he is repelled from sense objects, depending on his experience, depending on what moors he is influenced with. So next, 13th verse. 13,
14, 15, we have 3 years. You have doubt. Question. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, the position of Ram that you said is almost detached from any material consequences. Mm. And say, when we are helping someone to come out of issue, and then we get, somehow we feel, sometimes we get affected by that, you know, then the whole term called paradukhe dukhi, mm, and detachment, how do you reconcile this?
Very nice phenomena that most people experience, especially when they are in a position of guiding others and all. Everybody has certain bandwidth, certain capacity to deal with things. Someone can lift 5 kilos, someone else can lift 10 kilos, someone else can lift 50 kilos. Nothing will happen to him. So, now, in our attempt to help others, we may have to hear their problems. Okay. I am suffering with so and so problem, please help me. So, it's a simple problem, silly problem that he's undergoing, and then you have had such experiences earlier, and with your experience you can give very good guidance. But there are some problems which are new to us also. By listening to the problem, we may get affected with that problem also. So one needs to be smart enough to direct such a person to someone who is more experienced than us. Let them handle it. So like that. So we need not think that I can solve every problem, or saying no to some problem. When someone approaches me for some help, if I say no to him, that might take a toll on my ego. Some people may be in that conception. How can I say no to him? It's not that saying no, you have the willingness to help him, definitely, but you don't have the ability to help him. One may have the ability to help him, but one does not have the eligibility to help him. So there is attitude, there is ability, there is eligibility. If all three are there, go ahead. If there is only attitude, there is no ability, then direct to him towards a person who has that ability. You have attitude also, you have ability also, but you may not have the eligibility. Direct to the person who has that qualification to guide him. So we need to take a call depending on the specific flavor of problem that people are approaching us with. Does it make sense? You can ask loudly, it will take some time.
That is understandable. If you cannot handle it, you can give it. But even when you can handle it, without the ego come in between.
Mm. One may get affected by it. Getting affected by it itself is lack of bandwidth, lack of ability. If I am getting influenced by his problem, then I don't have the capacity to solve that problem. Does it make sense? Someone who is not affected by that problem, by hearing that problem also, is the right person to solve that problem.
No, not like that. So you go out of patience when that person may come out, because it takes time, and then you start praying for them, and it doesn't take a toll on you, but you feel bad, and then you mature over time. but you don't leave hand because that person does not go to anyone, say for example, then in such a case, these things happen. So, is the actual position to be like Ram, to be like what you said about Ram? On one side, Ram shows great affection for Sita, on the other side, he leaves her also. So, is it good to actually tell ourselves is to just deliver the message and cut off the emotion? And if you cut off the emotion, then you can't get to know what that person is feeling. And if you don't get to know what that person is feeling, you can't go into the depth of giving them the right solution. So then there is this CYA, cover your backside sort of Western solution, where you only ask them some questions and give them answers from their own options. That is CYA style, where we are really not feeling the other person's. So, in this situation, is it best to just give a solution but stay detached? Is that the ultimate thing, is to really not get affected, but then you have to feel the pain to give a solution? Otherwise you cannot give that solution.
It's not necessary that a person has to feel the... Definitely empathy is needed. We need to empathize with people. But that doesn't mean we have to actually experience what they are experiencing. It's like going so deep into the emotions. So it's like, don't dwell so much on the problem. Just understand the problem rationally, as much as it is needed, definitely. And there are so many unnecessary details when someone is expressing a problem. So we also need to tell them, streamline your thoughts and then just come to the essence. When you also dwell so much on the minute, insignificant details of the problem, you are affecting yourself also, you are wasting my time also. Maybe it's good for him also. So not that we have to experience the suffering that they are also experiencing. Definitely we should be kind and compassionate and empathetic towards them. But many times the problem could be a little silly also, that it's not worth contemplating so much on it, right? So, yeah, and whatever I mentioned earlier, that also holds good to this also. So one needs to understand, am I the right person to handle it? Otherwise, we can just direct it towards someone
and who is... And on the other hand, if you just don't help, because anyway... many people are there, like that thousands of people are there. So Lord is on a platform that so many people are there, they're getting affected.
No,
Lord,
there is no black and white solution. We need to change gears according to the situation. We need to be a little sensitive. It's simple common sense. If I can do something without affecting myself, without compromising on my own things, I can definitely do. If it's beyond my bandwidth, I can just direct him to some person. Or I can just do my own thing. So it's all totally dynamic.
And if you don't do anything and only focus on sadhana and you keep going forward, is there anything wrong in that? Because anyway, nature is going to take care of everything for everyone.
If you don't do anything, just go on doing your sadhana.
No, because then you are just connected with the Lord and your mind is pure and you just keep moving up. Because anyway,
whom you are dealing with?
No, everyone. I'm saying.
And anyways, I think we're going way beyond our scope and discussion also of Naranarayan Rishi's prayers by Narada Muni and Hanumanji's prayers to Ramachandra. We can discuss it on a personal way in a different forum. I thought of completing these three verses in these 10 minutes. We have 3-4 minutes. I'll take one verse. Thirteenth verse. Idam hi yogeshwara yoga naipunam Hiranyagarbho bhagavan jagadayat Yadantakale tvayi nirgune mano Bhaktyadadhito jita dushkalevaraham.
O my Lord, Master of all mystic yoga, This is the explanation of the yogic process spoken by the Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is the self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment simply by placing their minds at your lotus feet. That is the perfection of yoga.
So here Narada Muni says, Idam hi yogeshwara yoga naipunam. Yoga naipunam means perfection, the expertise in yoga. What is the perfection of yoga? Perfection of yoga is to place one's mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. If one is able to focus on Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, that's the perfection of yoga, not meditation on nothing. Etavan sankhya yoga bhyam swadharma parinishthaya janmalabha parapumsam ante narayana smritihi. Ultimately, one should be able to focus on Narayana. Remembrance of Krishna at the time of death is what is mentioned as the perfection of yoga. So, however sinful one may be, Krishna is willing to forgive and accept him back. So, but conditioned soul may have some tendency to go to extremes. If someone acts against my will, I will break my relationship with him for the rest of eternity. No more relationship. I will not talk to him. People are not in talking terms also sometimes. Because someone has acted against my will, someone has hurt my false ego, there is a tendency to break relationship permanently. However, Krishna, he is unlimited. He has unlimited patience and unlimited tolerance. So how forgiving he is. Even if the conditioned soul performs such abominable activities and takes degraded birth as a rat or a insect or a stool, worm in the stool or whatever, Krishna stays right in his heart as super soul and tries to reclaim him by accompanying him in his gradual evolution of 84 lakh species, whatever number of species, and then coming to human form and bringing him in contact with devotees as much as possible. So all that Krishna does. Krishna doesn't want to break that relationship. So Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya and says, for one who is very seriously practicing devotional service during his lifetime to understand the constitutional position of the Lord, liberation is guaranteed even if he had previously been addicted to sinful habits. Even if one is sinful, Krishna is willing to take him in. Just give up that sin. No problem. You are sinful. Don't worry so much. Give up that sins and come to me. I will take care of your sins. Ma shuchaha. But the conditioned soul is not like that. You have done one mistake towards me, I will not take you in. You have lost your position in my heart. But Krishna never says that. You have committed unlimited sinful activities in millions of lives. Please. No problem, I will take you in. Just give up those sinful activities, don't do it anymore. You want to do it more? Fine, I'll wait till you complete that job and come back to me. Unlimited patience. Till that time I will do bhutva bhutva praliyate. I will keep on creating this material world again and again. Give you more opportunities. Purpose of creation is also to reform the conditioned soul. Prabhupada quotes this, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. Only purpose of life is to be fully absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, his form, his pastimes, his activities and qualities. If one is able to think of Krishna in this way, 24 hours, he is liberated. We have two verses. Shall I take 5 minutes and complete these two verses? Only 5 minutes. 14th verse. Yathaihi kanusmikam kamalam pata suteshu dareshu dhaneshu chintayan shanketa vidvan kukale varatyayad yastasya yatna hashrama eva kevalam.
Materialists are generally very attached to their present bodily comforts and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they are always absorbed in the thoughts of their wives, children and wealth and are afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine.
If a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, however, is also afraid of giving up his body, what is the use of his having labored to study the Shastra? It is simply a waste of time.
So if one is overwhelmed with fear of death, even after practicing devotional service, even after studying so many scriptures, what a big deal. So, yathaihi kamushika kamalampataha. Kamalampata is a person who is so attached to lusty desires. Suteshu, dareshu, dhaneshu, chintayan. What is this kamalampata? One is so overwhelmed with his materialistic household paraphernalia and relationships. Sanketa vidvan kukalevaratyaya. And he is also attached to kukalevara. Kukalevara means this bad body which is filled with bones, urine, mucus, stool, bile, nerves, flesh, blood, all this, tridhatu. If that one mm or half mm layer is removed, inside everything is same of everyone. One is attracted to the package, covering. You see this when we go and purchase some product, on top there is ingredients list. Wheat flour this much, what else? Sugar this much, carbohydrates or calcium, this and that. So much ingredients are written. Seeing the ingredients, we become excited and purchase it. Aray, this has better, better recipe. Well, let me purchase this. So, but no one sees the invisible ingredients list on the human body. Blood, bones, urine, stool, mucus, bile, all these are there. Everybody is attracted to the product of human body. With very conveniently ignoring the ingredients list, which is well known. And he just walks and then there is some hurt on his leg and blood comes out. Abominable. He has to wash his legs. Right? Blood is very contaminating. He knows inside everything is abominable. Whatever comes out of the nine holes is abominable only. What is there inside only will come out. What is inside, it's abominable. It's coming out. So nobody sees that ingredients list there. Kukalevaratyayad. Sanketa vidvan kukalevaratyayad. It's easier said than done. Right? So, yastasya yatnaha shrama eva kevalam. If one is still attached to the material body or fearful of death, it is useless. All his shastric study is useless waste of time. By practicing mystic yoga system, one must become detached from bodily relationships. Secret of success in practicing yoga is to become free from bodily attachments. Deha smriti nahiyara samsara bandhana kahantara. If there is no deha smriti, where is the question of samsara bandhan? So a person in Krishna consciousness must fully discharge his devotional duties without material attachment. That's the instruction given. To follow the instruction will take some time. Next, last verse for today. Tannah prabhotvam kukalevararpitam tvanmayayaham mamatam adhokshajam bhindyamayenashu vayam sudurbhidam Videhi yogam tvayinaha svabhavam.
Therefore, O Lord, O Transcendence, kindly help us by giving us the power to execute bhakti yoga, so that we can control our restless mind and fix them upon you. We are all infected by your illusory energy. Therefore, we are very attached to the body, which is full of stool and urine, and to anything related with the body. Except for the devotional service, there is no way to give up this attachment. Therefore, kindly bestow upon us this benediction.
So please help us fix our mind upon you, my dear Lord. So relieve us from this attachment for this material body. So manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. That's the yoga system, bhakti yoga. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.